2016 marks Between the Lines' 25th year on the air. As we celebrate our all-volunteer independent media project's anniversary, please consider subscribing to our podcasts and supporting our work. Visit our website at btlonline.org, that's btlonline.org, for details on how to subscribe and make a contribution.
Trade representatives of the U.S. and 11 other Pacific Rim nations gathered in New Zealand on February 4th to formally sign the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement that's designed to integrate 40% of the world's economy. Over the next 2 years, the controversial trade pact, known as the TPP, must still be ratified by at least 6 original signatories, representing 85% of the total GDP of the 12 nations that signed the agreement. While supporters like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and President Barack Obama say the TPP will boost American exports and create jobs, some economic studies warn that the trade agreement will lead to employment losses and increased inequality. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat of Massachusetts, an opponent, said recently that the TPP is about letting multinational corporations rig the rules on everything from patent protection to food safety standards to benefit themselves. The contentious investor-state dispute settlement provision of the TPP allows multinational corporations to challenge local, state, and federal public health, environmental, consumer, and labor laws, as well as court rulings, if a claim is made that they impinge on business profits. Your reporter spoke with Jessa Bonner, International Program Associate with Public Citizens Global Trade Watch, who explains why a broad coalition of labor, environmental, and consumer groups are now engaged in a campaign to defeat the TPP when the trade agreement comes up for a vote in the U.S. Congress.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership, which we refer to as the TPP, is a so-called free trade agreement, and we put the free trade in quotes, between 12 countries, and it's been in negotiation for about 7 years. And the reason that we put the free trade in quotes is because really the TPP has to do with a lot more than what we think of as typical trade issues. So of the TPP's 30 chapters, actually only 6 of them have to do with these traditional trade issues in terms of lowering, getting rid of tariffs, et cetera. But instead, what we've seen in the TPP is that there are many provisions that actually benefit multinational corporations over workers, the environment, consumers, et cetera. So this is not actually that surprising, given how the deal was negotiated. So as I mentioned, it was in negotiations for about 7 years. It took a really long time, in part because there was a lot of opposition, global opposition to the deal. But it was basically negotiated in secret, and so the public and the press and civil society were locked out of the negotiations. For the majority of the time that the TPP was in negotiations, U.S. members of Congress were locked out too. And at the end, they received, after a lot of complaining, they received some kind of nominal access where they could request to view certain parts of it. They couldn't talk about it. They couldn't take any notes, et cetera. But at the same time, as all of these actors were locked out, there were about 500 so-called advisors, so the majority of them representing industry interests, representing corporate interests, that actually had access to the text and the negotiations. And so it's not surprising that the TPP, you know, would benefit these corporations over workers and consumers. And when they finally released the text, we actually saw that it was worse than we thought it would be. There's a lot of concerns. For example, it includes the same kind of language that was in NAFTA that actually makes it easier for big corporations to offshore more American jobs. The TPP would also push down our wages for the jobs that are left because it basically pits American workers more directly in competition with, for example, workers in Vietnam who might make less than 65 cents an hour. It includes monopoly rights for big pharmaceutical companies that raise medicine prices. It would flood us with more imports of unsafe food. It also includes the very controversial investor-state dispute settlement, which allows corporations to challenge public interest policies that they can say affects their ability to make a future profit. There's concerns about internet freedom, rolls back environmental standards. Really, as you mentioned, there's kind of something for everyone to hate, and that's why there's an unprecedented number of organizations that are working against the TPP to try to make sure that Congress will reject it.
Tell us about the candidates running for president, both on the Democratic and Republican side, and their support or opposition to the TPP, to the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement.
In no small part due to the large amount of opposition to the deal, this has really become a politically toxic issue. And really, at this point, the TPP might not even be sent to Congress for approval during this Congress, given that we're in election year and there's been enough pushback. There really isn't a clear majority of support, particularly in the House of Republicans. The people that are in the presidential race that are running for president have really kind of felt the pushback from the American citizens that this is really not a popular issue, that Americans are really opposing this. And because of that, the major people that are vying for the presidency have really had to come out in opposition to the TPP. So, you know, we have Hillary came out opposing the TPP as well as Bernie Sanders. So both of the candidates that are running on the Democrat side, as well as many of the major candidates that are in the Republican race. So we're really seeing that this issue is one that is really, really politically toxic. And for that reason, the movement to defeat the TPP is really alive and well, and it's very much not a sure thing that Congress would approve the TPP or that it will even be brought up for a vote.
Jessica, lastly, are there any public opinion polls that have been done recently on public attitudes towards this proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership?
One of the thing that tends to come out of polls are that people tend to kind of support the idea of free trade, but once you get started talking about the provisions that are in the trade deals, NAFTA, previous trade agreements, and what the TPP will actually do, there's a lot of opposition to these types of NAFTA-style deals.
That was Jessup Bonner, International Program Associate with Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. For more news and commentary on the battle to defeat the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.